Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us.
Glad to be here.
Today we're going to be looking at the link between obesity and cancer.
Okay.
We're going to be taking a look at some research from Cancer Research UK.
Sounds good.
And I think that you might be surprised to hear some of the information we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I think so too.
Especially when we get to talking about how exactly excess weight increases your risk for cancer.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that obesity is actually the second biggest preventable cause of cancer in the UK.
Wow, preventable.
Yeah.
That's a really big distinction to make there.
It is.
So is this, are we talking like a small number of cases or is this a pretty significant problem?
No, this is pretty significant actually.
Okay.
The research indicates that more than 1 in 20 cancer cases are linked to carrying extra weight.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot more than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
But what I think is really interesting is that it's not just about like the physical presence of fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the biological processes that excess weight sets in motion.
Exactly.
Can you break that down for us a little?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of like a domino effect.
Okay.
Fat cells are constantly sending signals throughout the body. And when there are too many of them, these signals can disrupt normal cell processes, which can increase the risk of cancer development.
So it's not just that they're taking up space, they're actively contributing to the problem.
Exactly.
What are some of the key ways that this happens?
One way is through growth hormones.
Okay.
When you have excess fat, it can lead to higher levels of growth hormones circulating in your system. And this in turn can push cells to divide more rapidly than they should.
Okay.
Which increases the likelihood of errors in cell division, which is a hallmark of cancer.
So it's like speeding up that process.
Right.
Which leads to mistakes and potentially cancer.
Exactly.
What are some of the other mechanisms at play here?
Another major player is inflammation.
Okay.
When there's a buildup of fat cells, the body's immune system reacts by sending immune cells to the area.
Right.
This creates a state of chronic low-grade inflammation, which over time can also encourage cells to divide more rapidly and potentially become cancerous.
Yeah, inflammation is so fascinating because it can be both helpful and harmful.
Exactly.
Depending on the context.
Absolutely.
But there's a third way that obesity contributes to cancer risk, right?
Right.
And that has something to do with sex hormones.
Yes.
That's a connection I don't think I would have immediately made.
Yeah, and this one is particularly relevant for women after menopause.
Okay.
As we age, our ovaries stop producing estrogen.
Right.
But fat cells can pick up the slack producing estrogen even after menopause.
Oh, wow.
And since estrogen can stimulate cell division in the breast and womb, this can significantly increase the risk of developing cancer in those areas.
That's really interesting. It's like our bodies find ways to compensate.
They do.
But sometimes those compensations come with unintended consequences.
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned that there's a strong link between obesity and certain types of cancer. Just how solid is that link and what kind of evidence supports it?
So the evidence is remarkably robust. We're talking about decades of high-quality research involving millions of participants.
Wow.
And these studies consistently show that the risk of cancer increases in proportion to the amount of weight gain and the length of time a person is overweight or obese.
Okay.
And when you combine that with the clear biological mechanisms we've just discussed, it paints a very compelling picture.
So we're not just talking about a correlation. There's a clear biological basis
exactly. For
this connection.
Yeah.
Now, this research has linked overweight and obesity to 13 different types of cancer.
Right.
Some of those are, you know, what you might expect, like breast and bowel cancer.
Right.
But some are a little less obvious. What are some of the more surprising connections?
Well, you're right. Some of the links are unexpected.
Mm.
For instance, there's a strong correlation between obesity and meningioma.
Okay.
Which is a type of brain tumor.
Wow.
Now, this doesn't mean that every person who is overweight will develop meningioma.
Right.
But the research indicates statistically significant link.
That's really eye-opening. I think most people wouldn't immediately connect weight and brain tumors.
Yeah.
What makes that connection particularly surprising?
Well,
and are there any theories about the mechanisms at play there?
It's a newer area of research.
Mm.
But one theory is that the chronic inflammation associated with obesity may play a role.
Mm.
Remember, we talked about how excess fat can trigger the immune system to send inflammatory signals?
Right.
It's possible that this chronic inflammation could over time contribute to the development of meningioma.
Okay.
Though more research is needed to understand the specific mechanisms.
So we're just starting to unravel the complexities of that particular link.
We are.
But it's clear that the impact of obesity extends far beyond what many people might initially realize.
Absolutely. And while the list of 13 cancers is certainly concerning, I think it's crucial to emphasize that this isn't about instilling fear.
Right. It's about empowerment, isn't it?
Exactly.
Understanding the risks allows us to make informed choices about our health. It's exactly. It's about recognizing that we have a degree of control over our own health outcomes.
Right.
And that leads us to a really important question. How do we even determine what a healthy weight is for us?
That's a great question. And I think a lot of people struggle with that question. So let's dive into that in just a moment after we hear from our sponsors.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back. And we are back. And before the break, we were talking about figuring out what a healthy weight is for each of us.
Right.
And I know that that's something that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah.
Where do we even begin with that?
Well, you've probably heard of body mass index or BMI.
Right. BMI.
It's a calculation using your height and weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a good starting point.
Okay.
For understanding if you're in a healthy weight range.
Right. But isn't it true that BMI isn't always the most accurate?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. BMI isn't perfect.
Okay.
For example, it doesn't differentiate between muscle mass and fat mass.
Right.
So a very muscular person
yeah.
can have a high BMI and be perfectly healthy.
Right. And it also doesn't take into account individual factors like body composition or fat distribution.
So it's a useful tool.
It is.
But it's not the whole picture.
Right.
Now, the report mentions something about ethnic background also playing a role.
Definitely.
Can you elaborate on that a little?
Yeah. The research shows that healthy weight ranges can vary depending on your ethnic background.
Okay.
For instance, adults of South Asian, Chinese, other Asian, Middle Eastern, Black, African, or African Caribbean backgrounds have different thresholds.
Okay.
For what's considered overweight or obese mm-hmm. compared to other groups.
So how do those thresholds differ?
For those groups, a BMI of 23 or more is considered overweight.
Okay.
And a BMI of 27.5 or more is considered obese.
Got it.
This is different from the general population where a BMI of 25 or more is considered overweight and a BMI of 30 or more is considered obese.
It's important for people to be aware of those nuances.
It is.
What about other ways to assess whether you're carrying excess weight?
Another measurement to consider, especially for those with a BMI under 35, is waist-to-height ratio.
Okay.
This helps determine how much fat is stored around your abdomen.
So how do you...
A higher waist-to-height ratio.
Okay.
Meaning more fat around your midsection can be an indicator of increased risk for certain health problems.
Okay.
Including some of the cancers we discussed earlier.
So it's not just about how much you weigh,
right.
but also where that weight is distributed.
Exactly.
And we hear a lot about visceral fat
yeah.
being particularly problematic.
Yes, it is.
What makes visceral fat so dangerous?
What's interesting about visceral fat is that it's not just sitting there passively.
Okay.
It's metabolically active.
Oh, wow.
Releasing hormones and other substances that can disrupt various bodily processes.
Okay.
Increasing the risk of inflammation, insulin resistance, and other issues that can contribute to the development of cancer.
That makes sense. So we have BMI, we have waist-to-height ratio.
Right.
And this understanding that visceral fat is particularly concerning. What's the best way for someone to get a clear picture of their individual situation?
The most important thing is to talk to your doctor or nurse.
Okay.
They can assess your BMI, your waist-to-height ratio, and other individual factors.
Okay.
To help you understand your personal risk profile and offer guidance on achieving and maintaining a healthy weight for you.
It's always best to have those conversations with a healthcare professional who can provide that personalized advice.
Absolutely.
Now, I know this is a lot of information to digest, and some people might be feeling overwhelmed, especially if they've struggled with weight in the past.
Right.
But I think it's important to emphasize that it's never too late to make positive changes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Even a small amount of weight loss can make a significant difference.
Okay.
In terms of reducing your risk of developing these cancers and improving your overall health.
So where do we go from here? What are some practical steps people can take to start making those positive changes?
That's a great question. And the good news is there are many resources available.
Okay.
A good place to start is the NHS website.
Okay.
They have a wealth of information on healthy eating, portion control, physical activity, and more.
Awesome.
Even making small adjustments like incorporating more fruits and vegetables into your diet.
Yeah.
Or finding enjoyable ways to move your body can have a real impact over time.
I think it's important to remember that this isn't about striving for some unrealistic ideal of thinness.
Right.
It's about finding a healthy weight that's sustainable for you and focusing on long-term lifestyle changes rather than quick fixes or fad diets.
You hit the nail on the head. It's about creating healthy habits that you can stick with.
Mm-hmm.
And those habits will look different for each person.
Right.
The key is to find what works for you and to remember that it's a journey, not a race.
I love that perspective. It takes the pressure off.
It does.
And makes it feel more achievable.
Absolutely.
We'll be back in a moment to wrap up this deep dive with some final thoughts and key takeaways, so stay tuned. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive, looking at obesity and cancer.
Yes.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
From those biological mechanisms to some practical tips
for
maintaining a healthy weight.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I think it would be good to take a moment to reflect on some of those key takeaways.
Yeah.
And maybe even challenge some conventional thinking a little bit.
Yeah, good. Go ahead.
One of the most powerful insights from our conversation is that fat cells aren't just passive bystanders.
Right.
They're actively sending signals throughout the body that can disrupt normal cell processes and potentially increase the risk of developing cancer.
It's like a whole communication network we didn't even realize was operating at that level.
Exactly.
And it really underscores that our weight isn't just about aesthetics.
Right.
It's about the health of our cells
and
our overall well-being.
Absolutely.
We talked about those 13 types of cancer linked to obesity. And I think what struck me was how diverse they are.
They are.
It's not just one system in the body that's affected.
Right. It's everything from the brain to the digestive system.
Yeah.
To the reproductive system.
Exactly. And it really highlights the systemic impact of obesity.
Right.
And the importance of a holistic approach to health.
We also talked about BMI and waist to height ratio.
Right.
And I think it's really important for our listeners to remember that those are tools.
Yes.
Not definitive judgments.
Exactly.
They can provide valuable insights.
They can.
But they should always be considered within the context of individual circumstances.
Right.
And in consultation with a healthcare professional.
Absolutely.
Speaking of challenging conventional thinking.
Yeah.
You know what's been on my mind?
What's that?
We focus so much on obesity and cancer prevention.
Right.
But what about the flip side of that coin?
Yeah.
What role might a healthy weight play in the context of cancer treatment and recovery?
That's a really fascinating question, and one that researchers are actively exploring. There's growing evidence to suggest that maintaining a healthy weight during and after cancer treatment may improve treatment effectiveness.
Wow.
Reduce the risk of recurrence and enhance overall survival rates.
That's really encouraging.
It is.
And it gives even more weight, no pun intended, to the importance of prioritizing a healthy weight.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it reinforces the idea that this isn't just about avoiding cancer.
Right.
It's about optimizing our health at every stage of life.
Right.
Even in the face of serious illness.
I think that's a perfect note to end on.
It is.
This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening for me.
Yeah, me too.
And I hope it's given you all a lot to ponder as well.
I hope so.
If you're looking for more information, the Cancer Research UK website is a fantastic resource.
It is.
And as always, don't hesitate to reach out to your healthcare provider.
Yes.
To discuss any questions or concerns you may have.
Good advice.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. Until next time, keep exploring.
Keep learning.
Keep learning and keep taking care of yourselves.
Absolutely.